Good morning and welcome. It is August 16th, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville as we live stream this service this morning. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I will be leading worship today. We have Lynn Meyer providing us music on the organ, and Earl Linhart here to sing our hymn for us. Todd and Kim Wise are here to provide some special music, and Kim will be our liturgist this morning. Heather Hicks has posted, and especially for children, on Facebook already, so you can go to that following the service this morning. The flowers this morning are given by Linda Barr in memory of her husband, Tom Barr. Students and teachers are in the process of going back to school, and since most, if not all, students we'll find this an unusual year, and we can't have you here to bless the backpacks. We've decided to bless your home learning spaces instead, and that'll be what Heather is doing in the Especially for Children this morning, so I invite you, particularly all the kids, to join her and see her Especially for Children posted on Facebook. For those who want to learn more about the Presbyterian General Assembly that was held back in June, I will host an Ask Mark About GA session via Zoom on this coming Thursday, August 20th, 7 p.m. If you are interested, please give me a call and I'll send you the link. Next Sunday evening is our Blessing of the Animals service, which is held outdoors on our church lawn. It'll be at 7 p.m. You can bring a pet as long as the pet is properly controlled. You can also bring a picture of your pet if you'd like, or you can just come and see everyone else's pets. We do ask that you wear your mask and practice social distancing and bring your own lawn chair to sit in. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Good morning. Let us call each other to worship. Grace and peace to you by the living power of the Holy Spirit, moving in our midst to inspire and guide, to bring forth new life wherever it may be found. As we worship, we open our hearts and our lives to this Spirit, that we may choose wisely, live rightly, and serve compassionately. We wait for this Spirit, for there is much within us waiting to be born. Therefore, now let us worship our God. Let us pray. God of infinite love and particular compassion, who loves all of us and each of us, we thank you for the gift of this moment. and we offer it to you as a gift of praise, of gratitude, of worship. We come bringing a patchwork quilt of hopes and fears to this worship, all bound together by the stubborn belief that by being here in this hour, you may make a difference in the rest of our lives. And so we offer this worship to you, wanting to believe, daring to believe, that you would speak even to the likes of us. May the fresh wind of your spirit blow through this worship so that we might know your presence. More we cannot ask, less we cannot bear. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Amen.
The first scripture reading we have this morning is from Psalm 99, verses 1 through 11. Please listen for the word of God. The Lord is king. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. Mighty God, lover of justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron are among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called on his name. They cried to the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his decrees and the statutes that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You are a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Extol the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. First reading, thanks be to God. Our second reading this morning comes from Revelation 4, verses 8 through 11. Listen again for the word of the Lord. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and inside. Day and night, without ceasing, they sing, Holy, 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 the Lord God the Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who is seated on the throne, one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before the one who is seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kim. Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the second chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. Hear now these words. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. He said to those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Here ends our lesson. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for all these words from your holy scripture, and as we ponder them this morning, we ask that your spirit work amongst us so that we might come to understand and live these words. Amen. Years ago, I lived and worked in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And while I was there, I made friends with a young couple about my age at the time, in our early 20s, Jim and Mary. I met them at the Presbyterian Church in Green Bay because Mary was the pastor's daughter. Jim and Mary also had a little girl named Jenny. Being the pastor's daughter, Mary made sure that the three of them were in church every Sunday, or almost every Sunday. One fall Sunday, Jim and Mary just did not have the energy to get all of them ready for church. So on that one particular Sunday, they all stayed home. Of course, little Jenny was confused. They always went to church on Sundays. When her mother explained that they were not going to church that day, little Jenny was at first quite sad. She liked going to church. But then suddenly she brightened and said to her mother, "Well then, Mommy, I guess we'll have to have house church instead." And that is what they did. Orchestrated by Jenny, the three of them held their own church service right in their living room. And they had all the parts of worship that Jenny could remember, even the offering. This little family so enjoyed their house church experience that there were other Sundays when I would not see them in church, and I would learn later that they were all at home having their own house church service. I remember that story out of my past. And I realized that because of the pandemic, we are all having to have our own versions of house church, aren't we? As we try to figure out how to worship in this particular environment. The church has been trying to figure out how do we do church in a pandemic environment. And particularly, the focus has been, how do we do worship in this environment? And as I thought, and as I've been thinking about how we do church, I've gone back to the purpose statements of the Presbyterian Church, known as the Great Ends of the Church. The Great Ends of the Church were developed over 100 years ago, and they have withstood the test of time. There are six of them, and they are the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind, the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God, the maintenance of divine worship, the preservation of the truth, the proclamation of the social righteousness, and the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. Former director of theology for the Presbyterian Church, Joe Small, states that the great ends of the church are not theological boilerplate, and that fulfilling these six fundamental purposes is not automatic. And he's right, of course. They are basic to who we are as a church, but they do require us to reflect upon them from time to time so that we might be intentional about fulfilling them. And I think this time of the virus has forced us to do just that. And so for the month of August, I've been going through the six great ends in order. So this week, I'm considering number three, the maintenance of divine worship. As I scanned the whole of the six great ends, I found most of the language to be what I might expect. Important biblical, theological words used, words like salvation, nurture, truth, righteousness, and kingdom. And then there's the word that shows up in this particular great end, maintenance, which sounds like we are talking about auto mechanics. And yet, when you think about it, maintenance isn't only an appropriate word, but it is a powerful word, and then one that we ought to connect with our worship all the time. And maybe it was maintenance of divine worship that got into Jesus' mind when he cleared the temple in our scriptures from John this morning. The temple in Jerusalem was legitimated as the central place of worship in Israel. Faithful Jews made an annual pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem in the hopes that one day they would see the long-awaited Messiah. But over the years, the meaning and the purpose of the temple became obscured, hidden under mounds of merchandising and heaps of injustice as the money changers took advantage of these poor pilgrims. By Jesus' time, when the Jews were puppets of the Roman occupation, rulers and priests were profiting from the commercialization of the temple. Instead of fulfilling its purpose as a place of divine worship, the temple had become a tool for the systematic oppression of God's people. It no longer accommodated the presence of the living Lord amongst all that commercialization. And then Jesus arrives. In John's account of the clearing of the temple, we do not encounter the Jesus that we remember from our Sunday school teachings. This isn't Jesus smiling with a lamb over his shoulders. Rather, we meet Jesus as God incarnate, God of the Exodus, who hears the cries of the people for justice, who comes to the temple to deliver that justice. The temple, God's house, and the worship therein was in need of some serious maintenance. In fact, one could say it was in need of a major overhaul. Sometimes our own worship is in need of some maintenance as well. And then a pandemic strikes, and as if our worship has crashed into a brick wall, and we no longer need a minor tune-up, we need a complete rebuild. And that is what we are trying to figure out right now. The staff of this church, the worship committee of this church, the elders of this church, and all of you watching and listening and participating in this service in your own way, we are all trying to rebuild our worship. And we're doing it now through electronic means, but with an eye that someday we will be able to worship together. And we don't have any blueprints to do any of this. But if there is a silver lining in this struggle, it is that we are forced to consider what worship is and how we can do it with integrity. All the old habits and practices have been stripped away, and now before this is the possibility of rebuilding worship in a more faithful form. Throughout the history of the church, going back to the time of the Bible, worship has always changed and adapted, and in those changes and adapted, the people of God have argued and fought over the forms of worship. From Paul admonishing the Corinthians over speaking in tongues, to the proper understanding of the Lord's Supper in the Reformation, to the use of praise, music, and worship today, Christians have struggled over the right way to worship God. And it gets lost in all this struggle over forms is that God gets lost. And some divine maintenance is surely needed. But now the forms have been upended. and we can connect only through a screen, and now we cannot sing like we used to, and we cannot even pass the offering plate or hold hands during the Lord's Prayer. For all of us, these are important parts of worship, and when we can't do them, we really don't feel like we've worshiped. And all of us have some special part of worship that's important to us. In my previous church, one Easter season, we decided to drop the Gloria Patri and sing something else for those 7 weeks. After the first week, we got an angry letter from one of our members stating emphatically that it was not worship if we didn't sing the Gloria Patri. And he would not return to our sanctuary until we reinstalled it. Our senior pastor, I think, was tempted never to restore the Gloria Patri again. The point is that for all of us, there is something in the way we worship that touches us, makes it special for us, makes it holy. And when that is missing, we don't feel like we have worshiped. And in this pandemic, almost everything that we do in worship is different or missing altogether. But again, this is an opportunity to ask ourselves, what is worship all about? Worship is found throughout the Bible. The people worship, creation worships. In Revelation, the heavenly beings worship. And the focus for all this worship in the Bible is God. And any other focus, whether it be objects like idols or people like the emperor, whatever the other focus may be, is always false in the Bible. Only God is worthy of worship. And when God is the focus of worship, the form becomes less of an issue. In the Bible, worship is singing. In the Bible, worship is scripture reading. In the Bible, worship is prayer. In the Bible, worship is instruction. And in the Bible, all of it is directed at God. And worship is also about us, or more rightly, about us and God. There is an old joke about the Presbyterian Church that had a sign out front with two arrows on it. The sign had an arrow pointing to the left that said, "This way to a seminar about God." Second arrow pointed to the right and said, "This way to God." The sign pointed to the sanctuary. It is a reminder that worship is about connecting with God. We don't worship to find out about God. We worship to have a relationship with God. Worship is a means of maintaining and restoring the image of God within us, enabling us to function as the people who know who we are as children of God. Worship provides us with what our Book of Order describes as an awareness of God's grace and claim upon our lives. By the grace of God and worship, we can be our real selves, which in turn allows us to live as true people of God. In worship, we experience God's love, God's mercy, and God's call to serve. Which brings me back to Jenny's house church. For Jenny, if she could not go to church, she would bring church to her, or maybe put another way, church and God was where she was. Worship was about connecting with God, not where it was done. And this is not to say where we worship isn't important either. This beautiful sanctuary is a reminder that the places we worship help shape our worship. This building has sacred memories for those who've worshiped here, memories of baptisms and funerals, of weddings and confirmation, of flickering lights of candles on Christmas Eve and the rich smell of lilies on Easter morning. These are experiences that are at once individual and yet corporate and part of our worship experience. Presbyterian theologian Howard Rice once said that worship comes in two forms, individual and corporate. We worship as individuals when we pray, we meditate, we listen to music, we read and study scripture, or when we engage in acts of service to others. We worship corporately when we come together to do all these things, to worship, to pray, to read scripture, to sing hymns, and to engage in acts of service to others. They are not independent. Corporate worship without individual worship is just entertainment. And individual worship without corporate worship is self-centered. But together they combine to make the full worship experience for us. The pandemic has highlighted the tension between the individual and the corporate, especially in worship. But maybe the pandemic time can be a time to improve our individual worship while we work on how to do corporate worship. Maybe these days when we are stuck in our homes is the perfect time to develop our own house church worship. Maybe it is a time for us to delve deeper into our personal relationships with God, so that when we do worship together, whatever form that corporate worship takes, each of us will have a deeper personal connection with God, which will lead to a deeper relationship with each other and with our God as a church. Maybe this pandemic is an opportunity to worship in different forms, so that we might learn that it is not the form of worship, but the object that is important. As Presbyterian pastor Veronica Goines writes, sometimes Jesus sweeps in and cleans. Sometimes everything is laid bare and pulled out from every closed and junk closet and junk drawer. Even the garage is fair game. We are sure that we will not survive. We are certain that all hell is breaking out, but in truth, heaven is breaking in. Maybe that's what's happening with the pandemic. In its own way, heaven is breaking in. And if that is happening, this is the perfect time to worship God. Amen.
We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. In grateful devotion our tribute we bring. We lay it before you, we kneel and adore you. We bless your holy name, glad praises. You, God of our fathers and mothers, through trial and tempest, our God, you have been. When perils o'ertake us, you will not forsake us, and with your help, O Lord, our struggle. Voices united, our praises we offer, and gladly our songs of thanksgiving we raise. With you, Lord, beside us, your strong arm will guide us. To you, our great Redeemer, forever be praised.
Thank you, Earl. We come before God and lift up our prayers, and as we do, we lift up those in particular need of prayer. As we mentioned earlier, it's a time for students and teachers to get ready to return to school in a very unusual and in many ways difficult beginning to the school year, and so we pray for teachers and students today. Holly Harvey has asked for prayers for her aunt, who is in hospice care. continue our prayers for her husband, Gary, who continues with his cancer treatment. Alvin Lee is doing better after his fall a few weeks ago, and the pain is a lot less, and we are thankful for that. Sue Zust asks for prayers for her mother, who's in the hospital. We pray for a former assistant pastor here, John Stahl, who is now in hospice care. John Davis's sister, Lois, we ask to pray for her, who is just getting out of the hospital. Elaine Russell's father is under hospice care. Adele Wright asks for prayers for her father, who is suffering from cancer. And Mary Bricker asks for prayers for her father, who is home from the hospital but continues to have health problems. We pray for Dave Cameron, who has been home from OSU Hospital since last Sunday afternoon, and we're thankful that he's home and pray for his continued recovery. We pray for Bob Smith, who is under hospice care, and we pray for all the caregivers. There are so many who are caring for others at this time, and we pray that they might know of your strength in this challenging time for them. Let us pray. We know you as God, who is and shall be, one who with might performs wonder and with graciousness bestows manifold blessings. You speak, and the heavens thunder with the sound of your voice. You stretch forth your hand, and even the sparrows find safe lodging. In Christ Jesus, you choose to walk among your people, revealing in him your marvelous love. As your Holy Spirit breathes fresh upon us, we are filled with the sense of your presence everywhere. You choose not to leave us alone, but to guide us. For all your mercies, we give you our thanks. Your heavenly order conditions our decisions, O God, and determining the present and the future courses of our lives. Your commandments ordain how we should respect other people. Your judgment controls us when we seek to rebel. We pray for a reoccurring sense of revelation, an intrusion of perception that will enlighten our vision. We know of the Christ, how he calls us to follow. We ask for direction in our quest to obey. He calls us to struggle on behalf of your righteousness. Keep us from complacency that hinders response. When we wrestle with forces that would dehumanize our neighbors, help us to be specific on what needs to occur. Give us those extraordinary glimpses of your purpose. Grant us strength to obey your will. Help us not to be unduly anxious when results of our actions are not readily known. Add to our need to security a level of your providence that your promise in Christ. Chasten our desires to control our own destiny and help us to take risks for your sake. When we stumble, set us securely again on your path. When we take detours, keep us safe until we regain our bearings. You know who we are, where we are going. And with that assurance, we shall be on our way. O Lord God, we pray this morning for all those whom we have mentioned before you, those names both spoken out loud and spoken only on our hearts. And we ask that your loving, caring presence and strength be with them in this journey we call life. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I invite Todd and Kim to share some music with us.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. Let it rise above the four winds, caught up in the heavenly sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. When all God's children cry out, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. It's all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. It's all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. It's all God's And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they've just heard. Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. When all God's children sing out glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. It's all God's children sing. God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and every day. Amen.